On January 27th, 2010, Steve Jobs held up an iPad for the first time, and a global audience held its collective breath. One segment of that audience was publishing professionals gathered in a New York City hotel. The timing couldn't have been better. The digital book world was neither a speculative place nor something to happen in the future. It was now very real and very much about the present. Hello and welcome to CCC's podcast series, Beyond the Book. My name is Christopher Keneally. And after that auspicious inauguration in 2010, Digital Book World has expanded from an annual conference to a year-round community focusing on educational and networking resources, as well as events for consumer publishing professionals and their partners, including agents, booksellers, and technology vendors. And joining me to tell us about how Digital Book World has evolved over the last 2 years is the new editorial director, Jeremy Greenfield. Jeremy, welcome to Beyond the Book.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
We should tell people, Jeremy, that you come to Digital Book World most recently from Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal, where you were editor of Fins.com, the new career portal. You have spent years covering careers, Wall Street, the economy, technology, and media. You live in New York, where we're talking to you from right now. And I'm very curious to hear about your sense of Digital Book World. I was going to say 2011, but for all purposes, 2012. You'll be having another conference coming up in the winter next year. Where are we in the 2 years since Steve Jobs held up the iPad?
That's a great question, and I think that when Steve Jobs brought tablet computing to the world, he really opened up a new chapter in the book publishing industry. You've seen in the past couple of months that many other vendors and companies like Amazon and Kobo and Barnes & Noble have followed Apple and down that path to full-color touchscreen tablets that bring bigger experiences than just reading words on a page to life to some extent. So I think that a tremendous amount has changed in those 2 years, but I would also say that, you know, one really, really important thing has stayed the same and probably will stay the same forever, which is that at the center of every reading experience, whether it be a print book or an iPad, is a great story. And I think that everyone in the industry, whether they're a book publisher or an agent or a big online bookseller, truly understand that, although I'm not sure they would all say that about each other.
Well, you know, one of the things about every industry, of course, is that they like nothing better than talking about themselves. What's your sense? It's very early in your time at Digital Book World, but what's your sense of the conversation going on in the publishing world right now? A sense of excitement, anxiety, a bit of both. There's a lot of change going on.
Well, I have a unique perspective on this because I am an outsider in the book world. I mean, as you said, I've spent time covering careers and media, and the past 6 weeks or so has been a real crash course for me in terms of what is really going on in the book world. Now, of course, I knew about, what was happening with Amazon and Barnes & Noble and some of the major players to some extent, but in the past short while, I've really learned quite a lot. And I would say that the mood throughout most of the book world is exactly what you just said. There's excitement, but there's also a lot of anxiety. And fear is another word that I've used in a lot of my conversations with people when trying to describe what I see out there. And I think that, you know, it's opportunities to build new and interesting reading experiences, to develop new revenue streams, to reach new audiences. But it's also anxiety about all of those things. How will we capitalize on these new opportunities? How will we protect our old revenue streams? How will we, ensure that authors are taken care of and that readers are taken care of? I think there are a lot of very earnest, passionate people in the book world who are going through some very difficult and some very interesting times right now. And that's actually one of the reasons that I joined Digital Book World. As I look at this industry, I see that there is a lot of tumult and a lot of change right now, and maybe that's even an understatement. And for us, the Digital Book World, that means that, you know, the industry is going to look to media partners and observers and experts to help steer the ship, and that's what, you know, I hope to try to do over the next foreseeable future, is to put out interesting editorial content that will help readers understand what's going on and see how they can react.
Well, Jeremy Greenfield, new editorial director for Digital Book World, I would say this has got to be a journalist's dream assignment in some sense. Nobody wants to cover something that's in stasis. You want to be part of something very dynamic. And as you point out, that's the publishing world today. How does the publishing world begin to accommodate itself to technology, which never sits still? I know you've been covering a lot. I was looking on the website, and it is almost exclusively, not exclusively, but almost exclusively about all the technology. How do you, as somebody who's reported on that in the past, think that publishing can begin to accommodate itself to, in other words, learn to live with this rather than kind of in spite of it?
Well, it's a balancing act. I mean, if you are somebody who is in a digital position at a publishing company and thinking about these issues as your job, you have to balance between two things. You know, you have to stay on top of what's going on, and you have to react appropriately to new developments. You know, if some small startup builds a new application, that is very, very relevant to what you're doing. At the same time, you have to filter out all the other noise around that. So there are a lot of quote-unquote exciting announcements in technology and book publishing all the time, new kinds of enhanced ebook experiences and social experiences. And I think the trick is you have to read the news, stay on top of what's going on, and then figure out what's really important.
Well, right, and you've got a lot of resources that you can pull in there. Who are some of the go-tos for you right now? I mean, I guess you're still kind of filling out your Rolodex on all of this, but you've talked to some people recently. Can you give us an example of someone who you really think has some insights for our audience?
Well, for technology, I think the people that I have been most impressed with early on are the ones you would expect, the heads and the decision makers of the digital departments of some of the major publishers. I would say Peter Bayliss at Wiley is very, very sharp. Andrea Fleck Nesbitt at Workman said a lot of very interesting things when we met. Molly Barton at Penguin is, very, very smart and very on top of new developments. And because there's so much going on and there are so many new things out there, these people are having to pay attention to so many different things that they're being pulled in many different directions. So while, somebody at Workman might be looking at some interesting technology issue and might take Workman in one direction, someone at a different company, a very similar business, might be looking at different technology issues and make different decisions. And I think a lot of publishers are really just figuring it out right now. Outside of the publishing community, I think there's some really good work being done by Publishers Marketplace and Publishers Lunch to sort of put some of the technology issues into perspective. I should say here that Michael Cater is a partner of ours in our January conference, just to sort of mention that so you know that we have an affiliation with them. And I think that a lot of the people that are running some of the very disruptive technology companies obviously have a different perspective on the issue that can be very, very valuable. And I think what they're doing is important for publishers to pay attention to for so many reasons. But they're going to be able to spot some of the opportunities that publishers will miss just because they have such different concerns.
Right. And one of the things that Digital Book World has tried to be from the very beginning is, a community. And you're doing a lot of the work right now at Digital Book World, but you're not the only contributor to the site. Can you tell us about the process, someone in the publishing community listening to this now and thinking, well, I've got something I want to sound off about for the Digital Book World community. How would they get that to you? What are you looking for? Any kind of guidelines for potential contributors?
Sure. So right now, what we're trying to do is figure out what our editorial strategy is going to be for 2012. And because I just came on so recently, I sort of look at what's going on the site. I've been making some contributions, some very minor changes, but basically we're sort of executing on the strategy that we had for 2011. So, you know, I would say that anyone who wants to reach out to the digital book world community, who has something to say, should really reach out to me. That's the number one place to go. And we'll be figuring out over the next several months the ways in which we'll bring those voices to life on the site. I will say this, though, that right now, you know, the digital book world platform is in a really strong position. And that's another reason I came to the company, is that I saw that there was a very good platform in place. I think a year from now, that position is going to be much, much stronger because of some of the strategies that we're going to be putting into place. So if someone is interested in talking to the Digital Book World community, you know, they know that right now they're obviously talking to many of the movers and shakers and players from all over the industry. But a year from now, that audience is going to be much, much larger and much, much stronger.
And the audience is one, I mean, websites are global by definition. You're there in Manhattan, a lot of publishing is, but you're really looking out beyond the five boroughs and thinking about publishing not only in the United States, but around the world, I assume.
Yeah, and I think looking at what's going on around the world is very important, because as publishing companies and authors and agents and really everyone in the industry look for new revenue streams, you know, outside of U.S. shores is going to be a really prime place to go. And, you know, just a couple of recent news items really speak to that. Kobo was purchased by Rakuten, a Japanese company, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, that has been described by the Kobo leadership as the Amazon of Japan. That company intends to launch its business in dozens of countries, the CEO told me last week. You know, they also have made deals already in the UK and France. Amazon is obviously building internationally. You know, we don't have too much insight into exactly what Barnes & Noble's plans are, but you know, I would be surprised if with their new Nook platform, especially with rumblings of an acquisition by a much larger company, Liberty Media, that they don't start looking internationally. And I even spoke today with Aaron Hobbs, who is a manager of digital production at Constellation, which is a pretty well-known ebook producer and distributor, and that company has gone international. And, you know, his statement on the matter, and you can read this at digitalbookworld.com, is that there are a lot of English-speaking readers out there outside of the U.S. But I would also add that it's not just English-speaking. There are a lot of developments being made in U.S. companies working in Spanish and in other languages.
Right, and I think the other interesting point about that you know, is important to hold as far as a global issue is that while we think of digital books in this country as being something that get read on an iPad or a Kindle, in the rest of the world, the tablets have still yet to make their mark, and people are consuming content. I hate that phrase, but I'll use it anyway. Consuming
sure.
content on phones, or even mm-hmm. still, you know, the laptop. But the phone is the device of choice, and so people shouldn't limit themselves to thinking about the tablets. If they're thinking globally, they need to think about a whole range of devices.
Yeah, absolutely. And the distribution tools available for digital books, basically the internet, allows you to think about very low revenue opportunity options like that without making large budgetary commitments. And what I mean by that is everyone can make money doing this if they do it right. And it's about, you know, understanding what's going on and building an appropriate strategy. You know, obviously book publishing in general has been, you know, an industry full of passion and a somewhat low margin industry, but I think if book publishers and their partners are smart in the next few years, and I think they can be, they have a lot of smart people working in there, that they can actually see that what they do through digital will eventually lead them towards slightly better margins. And I think that thinking about, you know, phones as an opportunity internationally is just one tiny little piece of that. Now, I haven't really dug so much into phones and their the international how they affect international, as you say. But I can tell you that in the tablet arena, you know, it is a whole different world out there. For instance, there was a study that came out this week about developers and where they want to focus their tablet app development. And domestically, you know, the Kindle Fire did much better than I think people expected, and really was only second to the iPad in terms of interest. But internationally, the Samsung Galaxy had a much, much better showing. So it really is a different world out there, and people that are thinking about building out internationally need to really understand it.
Well, Jeremy Greenfield, the new editorial director of Digital Book World, a self-described outsider to publishing. We want to welcome you to the community and appreciate your joining us today on Beyond the Book.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak out, Chris.
Well, we look forward to having you back on the program and to hearing from some of your contributors in the future. We hope you'll refer them to us as well. We'd be delighted to add to the voices that we get here on our program. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, copyright.com/beyond the book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.